Can we just bow our heads for a moment? Because without God, we're not going to do this, Lord. So, Father, I just come before you knowing that this word you poured into my heart today, I pray will set the captives free, because sometimes we don't understand your ways, Lord, and I'm the first to admit that I sometimes get frustrated. So I ask that you would just release grace, not only to me, but to those who are listening, and let your Holy Spirit minister to them, in Jesus' name. We're going to go to Luke, and we're going to take a look at what happens when we sometimes get frustrated and we want to give up. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 13. Verse 6 says, he told them this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but did not find any. This is a parable, so it means that it's a story about someone who's doing this, but it's really referring to God. Verse 7, so he said to the vine dresser, see here, for these 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it continue also to use up the ground that it is to deplete the soil, intercept the sun, and take up room? Now, I remind you that it's in a vineyard. Verse 6 says it's in a vineyard, okay? It's not growing any grapes, is it? But the vine dresser is the expert that takes care of the vines. So it's kind of neat that this tree is taking up room. It's shutting off the sunlights from the other fruit. Verse 8, but he replied to him, leave it alone, sir. Just this one more year, till I dig around it and put manure on the soil. Now, how many know that sometimes you have had time to wait for something, and it just, it seems to be endless, and you keep waiting, and you keep waiting, and things get smelly around you. You are not in the vineyard for nothing. I see this as an individual like that tree that you saw. Okay? Because this particular tree, a fig tree, is not that big, but it will stunt the growth of the vines underneath it. Correct? So, this could be an individual that's in leadership, taking up an awful lot of room, and God is going to leave that leader there in hopes that he will produce, or she will produce, good fruit. So what does God do? He puts manure around it. Because someone has compassion for it. Maybe not the grapes underneath, maybe not the vines that are getting all this shade that they're not looking for, but God in his mighty grace and mercy sees something in that hopeless person or hopeless tree that's taking up a lot of space, sucking up the nutrients, taking it from the ones that should be growing in the grapes, correct? Because remember, who is the vine? Jesus is the vine. Okay? And we are the what? Branches. We're the branches. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to produce? fruit. But what about if this big tree was over us, stopping us from receiving the best? And we'd like to get rid of it. Think about it. And God says, it's going to be my way. I'm going to let my vine dresser put more what? Yeah, but it smells. Who's the closest to the ground? The tree or the vine? And the branches? Us. We're the branches that are underneath, correct? And who's catching all the smell from the manure? Who is catching all the smell? Yeah! No kidding! Is God not concerned about this, let's say, irritating tree? Yes, he is. Yeah.
He just says, you're going to have to wait until I do what I do with it.
Yeah, but are you happy with the smell? No?
Sure.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Now, verse 9. Then perhaps it will bear fruit after this. But if not, you can cut it down and out. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman there who for 18 years had had an infirmity caused by a wonderful demon spirit of sickness. Isn't that awesome? She was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself or to look upward. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are released from your infirmity." Then he laid his hand on her, and instantly she was made straight, and she recognized and thanked and praised God. So, was she focused on the man? No. She was so conscious and seeking the Father that even if she would have been one of those grapes that had no sunshine on her for all those 18 years, she still saw in the realm of the Spirit that she could lift her head and thank God in spite of her leadership. And who were her leaders? The Jewish hierarchy. Are they not the fig tree? Was it not Israel that was the fig tree? So get a good look. Get a good look. See, it's no different today. There are some that are stuck in circumstances with headships that are so off-center, and I've seen it. And I'm not saying I don't make mistakes, and I can be that fig tree too. But God will put what? Manure. He'll fertilize. He'll take time. And yes, the grapes are going to have to put up with the smell. But this woman got free. And even if she waited 18 years, do you want to wait 18 years? I hope not. But the bottom line is, there's a message here. Okay? He laid his hand on her and instantly she was made straight. She recognized and thanked and praised God. But the leaders of the synagogue indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. So come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." Now let's take a side view of this. You mean to tell me this woman hasn't been coming to church or the synagogue for 18 years? Is this the first day she stepped in there on the Sabbath? So she's been going every single time she had an opportunity Yet they never laid hands on her. They never set her free. They never anointed her with oil, which was a commission from their background. You look up the scriptures in the Old Testament. The oil was there for them to use. They refused. And yet, when the one that is untaught by them, think about it, he was not in their schools. He was not accepted of their hierarchy. He came directly from the Father. They couldn't stand his guts. And the more he showed them the truth, they got angry and indignant. Verse 15. But the Lord replied to him, saying, you play actor. Oh, he was so gentle with them. He loved them so much. Hypocrite. How sweet he was. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall to lead it out to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Even as he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. And all the people, look at the grapes. Amen? All the people were rejoicing over all the glorious things that were being done by him. This led him to say, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and planted in its own garden. And it grew and became a tree. And the wild birds found shelter and roosted and nested on its branches. And again he said, To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of wheat, flour, or meal, until it was all leavened or fermented. Jesus journeyed on through towns and villages, teaching and making his way towards Jerusalem. And one asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? That is rescued, delivered from the penalties of the last judgment, and made partakers of the salvation by Christ? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door. Force yourself through it. Force yourself through it. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house gets up and closes the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door again and again, saying, Lord, open to us, he will answer you, I don't know you. Where? And in parentheses it says, what household, certainly not mine, do you come from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where or what household, certainly not mine, that you come from. Depart from me, all you wrongdoers. There will be weeping and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves being cast forth, banished and driven away. And the people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and sit down and feast at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are some last who will be first, and there are some first who will be last. At that very hour, some Pharisees came up and said to him, go away from here, for Herod is determined to kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox. Sly and crafty, sulking and cowardly, behold, I drive out demons and perform healings today and tomorrow, and on a third day I will finish my course. Nevertheless, I must continue on my way today and tomorrow and day after that, for it will never do for a prophet to be destroyed away from Jerusalem. And he cries out for Jerusalem, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who continue to kill the prophets and to stone those who are sent to you, how often I have desired and yearned to gather your children together as a hen, her young under her wings, but you would not. I believe that if you look at this whole situation from a religious standpoint, it fits for today no different than in that day. If you look at it from family circumstances, and if you look at how God will allow you to go through some hardship, and it might get smelly, the Holy Spirit will at one point still say the same thing that he did then. Be released from your infirmity so that you can look up and give glory to God. Don't ever give up on the idea that God is going to treat his believing bride any different than he treated the firstborn son. And that's probably a comfort to you, because when persecution comes and they want to pressure you away from God, be conscious of the pressure that is real. Be conscious of the war games that are going on. But be also compassionate to pray for those who persecute you. Because Jesus didn't stop praying for Jerusalem. He cried for compassion. He cried that they would be set free. Yet there was a day of destruction that was around the corner for them. And I'll be honest with you, I listened to the news the other day again, and Israel is in a hard space right now. And there are countries that would love to exterminate every single Jew on the face of the earth. The picture hasn't changed. The attitude of the heart is not different. But I believe with all my heart that the kingdom of God will flourish in the midst of it. Whatever difficulties that we are facing, whatever hardships that we are facing, our God is more than able to lift us up and let us be completely removed from that infirmity that has kept us looking down, and we will look up, for our deliverer is on the job.